Well, here is a revelation that was sent to us by Walter Horbach. I hope I didn't murder your last name there, Walter. And Walter sent this to UBM on 6807, and it's pretty interesting. It pretty much agrees with everything we've been studying, this revelation here. And Walter says, I was watching Pat Robertson recently as he detailed the 40th anniversary of the Six-Day War, when Israel recaptured Jerusalem on June the 7th, 1967. Pat thought it was extremely significant that 2007 is also the 400th year of America's founding, and noted that 400 years also represents 10 biblical generations. Well, that's interesting. Watch. After he said this, the following thoughts immediately impressed me, that even though nearly half over, 2007 may still yet indeed be a very prophetic year. Yeah, well, being half over has nothing to do with it, because we have just passed that 400-year mark. And I'll share that with you in a minute. Well, it was 10 generations from Adam to Noah. Wow, isn't that something? From Adam to Noah. Now we've had our second Adam, who is Jesus Christ, right? He's the father of the born-again creation. And here we are in the days of Noah. So, 10 generations. It says, as is the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Praise God. That's Matthew 24 and 37. Okay, now here's a verse that's that also speaks of 400 years. It's pretty important. Listen to this. In Genesis 15, 13 and 14, the Lord told Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Well, if you want to apply that to America, folks, just think about it. This land is not my home, is it? Even though we own it all, our kingdom is not of this world. So they were a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And I want to tell you, too, that even God's people have served the beast in this country for 400 years. Yes, that's right. I don't care what your history says. Even our forefathers, who were ignorant of so many things that the Lord is revealing in these days, walked very much in the flesh. And it goes on to say, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. Yeah, you know who has ruled the government of this United States, local and otherwise, has not been Christians, folks. And they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they serve will I judge. What's that? Tribulation. And afterwards they shall come out with great substance. So 400 years, and then the judgment, and then the people go home. You got that? That's 400 years, then the tribulation, and the people go home. So that leads us up to the point that we're in right now, you know. Let me read this little point to you here. The landing at Jamestown in 1607. I picked this up just a little while ago off the internet. The colonists in their ships were driven between the Virginia Capes by a violent storm in April of 1607. 400 years later, 2007, right? They named the Capes Henry and Charles, after the sons of their king. A party landed at Cape Henry on April the 26th, but were driven back to their boat by the Indians as they approached the western shore of the Chesapeake Bay. The storm had spent its force, and they called the place Point Comfort. The ships then entered and sailed up the river, stopping at Hampton, and here and there looking for a good site for a colony, finally selecting a low peninsula, half buried in the tide at high water. Here they landed on May the 13th, 1607, and gave the place the name of Jamestown. And the river they knew as Powhatan, the name of James River. in honor of the king, James I of Great Britain. The instructions of the king and the laws of the government of the colony were placed in a sealed casket with orders that it not be opened until they landed for a settlement. So if you want to pick a particular date, you just have to say, well, the spring. The spring of 2007 is 400 years, right? They have troubled arguments about what time to tie that down, okay? But we know the spring of 2007 is 400 years, basically, okay? So here we are at the end of 400 years. What's supposed to happen at the end of 400 years? Well, you know, there's been quite a few 400 years in the scriptures, and there's some pretty good parallels there. Walter goes to say here, he says, I was then strongly reminded of an apocryphal dream given to the prophet Ezra, describing a people who have not performed his works, a bride coming forth, a revealing of Jesus along with those that be with him, Christ's death, along with all men that have life. All of this will be revealed after a period of 400 years. Now, he's making the points concerning this Esther's prophecy, okay? A seven-day judgment and no man remaining. Okay, let me read the prophecy to you. Now, you know, Esther's, you know, is one of the apocryphal books. They believe it was written by the prophet Ezra. Could very well be. We don't really count Esdras is one of the 66 books because it really doesn't have a numeric pattern in it. That's not known by a lot of people. Some people consider it one of the Bible books, but it's not. Okay, but it could be very prophetic because there's some things in the book of Esdras is right on with what we been teaching here and what the Lord has shown us out of the Word. Okay, but you know, if a prophet wrote a book, he would share his prophecies and his teachings and so on and so forth, and some of it might be right and some of it might be wrong, but his gift of prophecy, if it is a true gift of prophecy, would be in there and it would be correct, right? It may not be on the level of inspiration as the 66 books, right? But it still would be a good prophecy. So, let me read to you 2 Esdras, chapter 7, from 19 to 35. And this is one translation here. There's many translations of Esdras. And he said unto me, there is no judge above God, and none that hath understanding above the highest. For there be many that perish in this life, because they despise the law of God, and that is set before them. For God hath given straight commandment to such as came, what they should do to live, even as they came, and what they should observe to avoid punishment. Nevertheless, they were not obedient unto him, but spake against him, and imagined vain things, and deceived themselves by their wicked deeds, and said of the Most High, He is not, and knew not his ways. But his law have they despised, and denied his covenants. In his statutes have they not been faithful, and have not performed his works. And folks, I think that's a pretty good description of where we are right now in Christianity. There's a great falling away. The people of God have not humbly submitted themselves to his word. They all justify themselves. They do their own thing. And they don't submit to God's word and perform his works either. So here we are. And what's God going to do about it? Well, the prophecy goes on. Let me read some more of it to you. And therefore, Esdras, for the empty are empty things, and for the full are full things. Behold, the time shall come that these tokens which I have told thee shall come to pass, and the bride shall appear, and she coming forth shall be seen, and now is withdrawn from the earth. That's true. You know, in the days of Jesus, John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And you know where the bride went? Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, Paul said that they had come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And what the Lord shown us was that when God's people fell away from the truth, from the anointing, from the filling with the Spirit, from the works of Jesus, that they were driven to Babylon, just exactly like the type and the shadow in the Old Testament. And now, a first fruits is ready to come forth again and go to Zion. Okay? So let me read on. And whosoever is delivered from the foresaid evils shall see my wonders. That's right. The people who are delivered from doing their own thing, disobeying God's commandments, and so on. For my son, Jesus. Now, you know, if it would have been Hebrew, it would have been Yahushua, right? For my son, Jesus, shall be revealed with those that be with him. And they that remain shall rejoice within 400 years. Now, America's 400 years were up in this spring of 2007. And as we saw, the landing at Jamestown, okay? I'm going to read a little bit more. It says, after these years shall my son Christ die, and all men that have life. Now, what does that mean? Well, stop and think about it. Do you know that back when Jesus came, it was at the end of 400 years? Yeah, they call it the intertestamental period between Malachi and the beginning of the New Testament. They call it some people call it the silent years. So, and it's approximately 400 years until Jesus came. See? But that's also a type, folks, of 400 years before the man-child comes, right? Because everything that happened with Jesus is happening with the man-child, except the man-child is a larger group of people in whom Jesus lives, the first fruits that Revelation 12 speaks about. So here we are again. We're at the end of 400 years. And it's true that God's people, the spiritual man, has been in bondage to the carnal man for 400 years here in America. And as you know, America has a lot of types and shadows that equate with Israel, like the 17-year war cycles, right? 17-year war cycles. And both Israel and America have that. America was formed by God to send forth the gospel, right? But God's people, to some extent, more or less, from the very beginning, have been in bondage to the carnal man. And in these days, God is going to restore all things. And now we've come to that 400-year end, and this is when these types and shadows are telling us all this is going to happen. Right? So, I'll read some more of Esther's revelation here. And the world shall be turned into the old silence for 7 days. Now, I don't know what that old silence means, for 7 days. So at the end of 400 years, it sounds like there's going to be 7 days. Ah, we know that's true because we're coming to the tribulation period, right? We're coming to the man-child. See, Jesus came. Well, I missed one thing. I should have told you. It says, after these years shall my son Christ die. Now, we know that happened, right? Literally, it happened. And all men that have life. We discovered that Jesus said, you have to lose your life to gain your life. And the word life there is suke, meaning soul. You need to lose your old life to gain your new life. And so, Christ went to his cross. He told his disciples to take up their cross. And, of course, their cross was to lose their soul life, their unregenerate soul life, which we call self. Right? So that happened, and it's about to happen again. And, you know, as we take up our cross and follow Jesus, both the first fruits and then the men after that who have life are all going to die, but they're going to die spiritually, right? Okay. So, and the world shall be turned into dark, into old silence for 7 days, like as in the former judgments, so that no man shall remain. And after 7 days, the world that yet awaketh not shall be raised up. Now, this is very interesting, because I thought to myself, now, which 7 days is he talking about here? Because this happens after 2 7-day periods, right? After the 7 days of tribulation, there's going to be a resurrection, right? But also after the 7 days. I'm talking about the 7 prophetic days of the Bible, the 7,000 year days. There's going to be a resurrection, right? So listen to that again. So we're talking about after the millennium and after the tribulation, okay? And after 7 days, the world that yet awaketh not shall be raised up, and that shall die that is corrupt. Aha, that's true, because it's those that are resurrected at the end of the millennium, they're resurrected for the eternal death, right? And those that are resurrected at the end of the tribulation period, those are righteous, and the rest are entering into death, right? The great and terrible day of the Lord. And the earth shall restore those that are asleep in her, and so shall the dust of those that dwell in silence. And the secret places shall deliver those souls that were committed unto them. And the Most High shall appear upon the seat of judgment. Now there's 2 seats of judgment, right? There is the Bema seat, which is the footprint tribunal, which is for the saints, to see if they walked in the steps of Jesus. And then there's the great white throne judgment. One of them's after the tribulation, one of them's after the millennium. So this has a double, I believe there's a double meaning here. Okay? And misery shall pass away. Oh, glory be to God. And the long suffering shall have an end. But judgment only shall remain. Truth shall stand, and faith shall wax strong. Glory be to God. And the work shall follow, and the reward shall be showed, and the good deeds shall be of force, and wicked deeds shall bear no rule. And Walter puts a note here. He said this is only one of a number of translations of Ezra's dream recorded in 2 Ezra, a book of the Apocrypha. Like other books, Esdras is without perfect numeric pattern and never should be equated with the canon of Scripture. And in the context of a dream, this book may very well have some true prophetic words for us at this time. Well, I think it pretty well agrees with Scripture and with the repetition of history. You know, the things that have been are the things that shall be. If there's anything in this, we know that here we have come to the end of 400 years in bondage to man. And like they were 400 years in Egypt when God sent Moses to deliver them out of the land of Egypt, but not after bringing a lot of judgment upon Egypt. And so now we know that the man-child is obviously coming, bringing a lot of judgment in the coming tribulation, but also to bring God's people out of Egypt. And again, we point out that Jesus himself came after 400 years. So his type, of course, is fulfilled in our day, the man-child ministry. And thank you very much for that, Walter. That's a really good, good revelation there. And thank you, Father. We know we're getting close, folks. The Lord is coming, but not in the way that a lot of the church believes. Not in the way a lot of the church believes. And this is of a purpose, because it was that way in Jesus' day too. The Old Testament church didn't understand the way the Lord was going to come. And God did it that way on purpose, so that only the honest and only the true would get the revelation of who he is. And in these days, same thing, folks. God is hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and revealed it unto babes. In these days, God is going to hide very much his ministry, his man-child, his 2 witnesses from the apostates and their leadership. And he's doing this in order that he can reveal it to whom he will. You remember what Jesus said as the man-child, as the first fruits, because he was called the first fruits too, wasn't he? Right? And he said, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. You see? And it's going to be the same way in these days, folks. The majority of what we have thought was God's people are going to persecute the people of God, not realizing that they are fulfilling their spiritual father's works. You remember what Jesus said of the Jews? He said, "You do the works of your fathers." You mean their fathers are the ones that killed the prophets. And these people garnished their tombs, saying that if they had lived in the days of the prophets, they wouldn't have done what their fathers did. But they did, didn't they? Yes, they did. And the same thing is thought by an awful lot of their spiritual seed today. I'm talking about the spiritual seed of the Pharisees and Sadducees of our day. Their spiritual seed. These people think that if they would have lived back then, they wouldn't have persecuted the prophets. But they are doing it today, and they'll continue to do it until the end if they're not granted grace from God to repent. You know, history just keeps repeating. Those 400 years, they're there as a sign, aren't they? See, God's plan to hide these things from the wise and prudent and reveal them unto babes. Glory to God that He is helping us to see through this and understand what's about to happen and how Jesus is actually really going to come in a body like He did before, in a corporate body this time. He's coming to be manifested in His people. No, these people aren't going to stand up and say that they are the Christ, you know, because obviously, in fact, Jesus Himself hid that for some time, didn't He? I mean, He spoke to them in dark sayings, and they complained that He was speaking to them in dark sayings. And finally, He just came right out and said it. They said, "Lo, now you're speaking to us plainly," you know? Why did He wait so long to do that? Well, because that was something that God wanted to hide from most people there. He wanted it to be a revelation. You remember when Peter got the revelation of who Jesus was? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say? "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, Peter, but My Father." Well, you know what? That's exactly what's going to happen again. What is Christ like? All of Christianity is at odds concerning that question. What is Christ like? And who was Christ? And what did He do? And what did He believe? And what would He do for you? All of Christianity is divided over those questions. And so today, if Jesus showed up, what would happen? Well, the overwhelming majority would throw Him out of their church, wouldn't they? In fact, they're doing it now, aren't they? If anybody goes in there spirit-filled and casting out demons and healing the sick, what's going to happen? The overwhelming majority of Christianity will deny Him again, persecute Him again. And so, that's exactly what God's going to do. Exactly what He's going to do. He's going to prove who it is that wants to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, you folks out there that are only half-gospel Christians, you better change your mind. You better do it quick. Because you're going to be one of the persecutors if you don't. Because I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes this time, He's coming just the way He did last time. With power, signs, wonders, and understanding that's contrary to natural reasoning. Truth that's contrary to natural reasoning. That's the way He's coming. And if you deny Him this time, this is your last chance. If you deny Him this time, you'll find that you are one of the sons, the spiritual sons of those people who persecuted and killed Jesus Christ. And it's a good time for you to get into your Bible and find out the truth and ask God to show you the truth. You know, after years of religion in which I was never born again, a friend challenged me to read the Bible. Well, I'd heard what the religious leaders had said, you know, in my particular religion, and really didn't care anything for it. They didn't impress me, nor did their words impress me. If you had asked me what I was, I would have probably told you nothing, you know, because I didn't believe in any of it. But when I started reading the Bible, I found out I'd been lied to. And I guarantee you the majority of people out there listening to me, if you start reading your Bible and believing just what it says, not adding to it, not taking away from it, you're going to find out the same thing. You were lied to by one of the daughters of the harlot of Revelation 17. And I tell you what, if you want to recognize what's about to happen, it'll blow right on by you. You won't recognize it. If you want to recognize it, you need to get in the Word of God. Put the Word down in your heart, because the Word is Jesus. If you want to recognize Jesus in your brethren, you need to recognize it in the book. Find out what a Christian looks like. You know, Jesus is the same, Hebrews 13 says, yesterday, today, yea, and forever. He hadn't changed a bit, and disciples haven't changed a bit either. You better find out why you believe what you believe. Why do you believe it all passed away with the disciples? Why do you believe that? Find the verse. Everything has to be based on two or three witnesses of Scripture. So go find just one that says that it all passed away. Well, of course it passed away among the unbelieving apostates. Everything passed away for them. It passed away for those Jews, too. When Jesus came, they knew nothing about signs and wonders. And they said he was doing his works by Beelzebub. Blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And today they're doing the same thing. You think they're going to recognize a move of the first fruits of God that Revelation 12 says very plainly is going to happen? Nope. They're not going to recognize it. The overwhelming majority aren't. You need to get in the book. You need to find out what it says. You need to get familiar with the writer of that book so you're familiar with the ones that he sends. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Is that going to happen in these days? Yes, it is. God's going to send some who are the first fruits in this day. And if you've seen them, you've seen Jesus, because Jesus lives in them. In fact, Jesus said, he that receiveth you, speaking to his disciples, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Now, disciples that are sent forth by Jesus today are the same way. If you receive them, you're receiving him. A disciple is a learner and a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what the word means, a mathetes. A follower, a learner and a follower. And if you receive those people, you're receiving Jesus. And Jesus is coming to do his works, his mighty, mighty works, at the beginning of 7 years, just exactly like this Revelation said. After 400 years, at the beginning of 7 years, Jesus is coming forth to do his works again. And those works will be impressive to those people who are lovers of God. Those people who are just hung up in religion, they will persecute that movement just like they did the last. See? So there has to be some repentance, folks, or you're not, it's like I said, it's going to just blow right on by you, and you'll find yourself in great tribulation fighting against God. One of the Pharisees gave a very good warning. Nicodemus, I believe it was, warning them that those Pharisees would find themselves fighting against God. And that's exactly what was happening. Multitudes of Christians today, the overwhelming majority, fight against God. They don't know what he expects of them. They don't know how to walk in the Spirit. They don't know how to apprehend the benefits of Jesus Christ. The benefits that he gave unto us on the cross, the healing, the deliverance, the miracles, the salvation, the righteousness. They don't even believe it. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And Paul told Timothy, from such turn away. You know, if you're in a church and they don't believe in the power of God to save from sin, and they don't believe in the power of God to heal your body, or the power of God to deliver you or provide for you, you need to get out of it. That's not a church. They have not come out. The word church means the called out ones. They have not come out. And I mean by that, they have not come out of the world. They are still a part of the world. And so the Bible commands us to separate from them. Don't come out from among them and don't touch any unclean thing, and I will be to you Father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Come out. Start reading your Bible. Find out the truth. Don't trust in these religions. Think about all the religions in Jesus' day that he called his disciples out of. And he called them out of all of them. There wasn't a one of them that stood by Jesus, nor was there a one of them that Jesus stood by them. Not one. And so it is today, folks. God did not create these religions. He created discipleship. And that is following the one true Jesus and believing in his word. Standing strong on his word. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ, right? We're in desperate need of seeing Christianity on the earth again. And we're about to. The only question is, will it happen with you? Will you be angry when you see it? Many are angry when they see it. And it is because of the demons inside of them and the lusts of their flesh. They call themselves Christians, but they're not. They don't walk in the power of Jesus, nor do they walk in the wisdom of Jesus. They don't think it's necessary. We didn't come into this world, folks, to enjoy life. We came here to die, just like our master. We came here to lose our life. Take up our cross and follow him. If that's not your opinion, then you're going to miss it. Because these days that are coming, that's exactly what's going to happen, is a portion of what we now call Christianity is going to decide to take up their cross and follow Jesus and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And otherwise, you will not recognize these people. You will be found fighting against them. So repent. You think there's a law in that book that tells you to go to church? Well, there's one that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But when it says that, it's speaking about assembling together with Christians. Not with religion, with Christians. That is, disciples who are interested in walking in the steps of Jesus. Don't say you abide in him if you don't walk in his steps. That's what 1 John says. All right? That everyone that says they abide in him walk as he walked. I got a group of people that don't believe they can walk as he walked, or don't believe they want to walk as he walked, or just want to be, you know, in their little club, their little pat each other on the back club, you know. Well, come out from among them. You want to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ? Get into the Word. Study the Word. Find out what... I mean, you know, it takes apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, Ephesians said. Well, you can't get any better than what's in that book, folks. You can look around you far and wide and won't come across the fivefold ministry in most places that people live. But you can't get any better than in that book. They give you the true leadership of the fivefold ministry in that book. And if you can't do it anywhere else, do it there. But for the sake of assembling together with a bunch of people that are full of leaven, it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. It's not biblical. When the Lord spoke about in Hebrews 10:25, assembling together, he was talking about assembling together with true disciples of Jesus Christ. Go find out what the book says, and then you might be able to recognize them when you see them. No, they won't be perfect yet, but on this side of the tribulation, we shouldn't expect that. But they'll be interested in walking in the steps of Jesus and being a true disciple. And if you can't find them, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study the Word.